jump in, just a special thank you to the sponsor of this episode, the Net Gains newsletter. The Net Gains is the free go-to weekly newsletter for accounting professionals, offering fresh insights and industry news you can't afford to miss. From career tips to the latest innovations, the Net Gains delivers the knowledge you need to thrive in the accounting sector. Curated by industry experts, it's your one-stop shop for staying ahead of trends, discovering strategic opportunities, and keeping up with the conversations shaping our profession. Sign up today at thenetgains.co. That's thenetgains.co. Don't miss out on the insights and updates that matter most, and subscribe now. Hello, and welcome to the Big Four Transparency Podcast. I'm joined today by Seth Feinberg, founder of Accountants Forward. Welcome to the pod, Seth.
Thanks for having me, Dom. Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Appreciate being here.
Yeah. Yeah, so we met kind of recently at Bridging the Gap. And you were someone I had kind of like heard rumblings of previously, so that's where I'm always like excited
good
to meet people.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I get good feedback, but you never really know. People go on odds. I do.
Yeah, no, it was all good stuff. It was I think it was mostly through AIR, the Accountants Influencers Roundtable. People were talking about you and
saying,
Rob, that's a guy you need to know. So there you go. Now you're here. So I really appreciate it.
Thanks again.
Yeah, my pleasure. So as I was kind of trying to catch up on you and like asking you about what's new in your world, you shared an article with me that I initially didn't understand the kind of link of, but so let's kind of start there. Basis just raised $34 million. I read through the article. Very interesting. My understanding is it's like a company building AI agents to perform actions to actually like get stuff done rather than like just provide information, and specifically in the accounting space. And sounds like you've been involved with them in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're one of my clients. Where I tend to get involved is a couple of levels. With these guys, I got introduced to them and I, you know, was like, well, listen, you know, what is going to be the most valuable? Because I've been in the accounting space for so long as an editor. I feel like I know it intimately. I can make connections for you. They just, you know, they were just kind of getting going. They already had, a bunch of firms that they were working with in beta, to install their platform and have their platform really, you know, do the work and learn, you know, a lot of the tasks, within a CAS practice, that tends to be their focus these days, of not taking away from, you know, or like, you know, oh, you don't need, you know, staff. It's just kind of a reimagining. It's just saying, okay, you know, just like with IT departments, with cloud, you know, cloud didn't necessarily replace or negate the IT department. It just, you had a reimagining. You know, these were the folks that used to come up and fix stuff when it got broken, or they were just constantly minding the servers with all the software and all the programs and everything installed upon them. Now, when those servers went away and went into the cloud and you no longer had to install anything, they went from, you know, fixing stuff to, you know, being more, you know, being on top of the latest technology, the latest platforms, and, you know, security, I think, became, you know, more of their thing. So within accounting, you know, AI has this opportunity to kind of reimagine what an accountant actually does, or what kinds of tasks, you know, what are the higher value things that get done? Because the doers of these tasks are increasingly, given to technology. But they still need the human to teach it, to work with it, and to ultimately, you know, share the value of you know what it does. So with Basis, you know, they didn't quite know the profession as a whole like I do, and you know, so I've been kind of working behind the scenes with them for about a year or so, just to kind of teach them about the conference landscape, teach them about the industry publications, introduce them to editors, introduce them to other influential people. And I continue to do that because, you know, I believe that, you know, look, I started doing what I'm doing to do just that. I want to use what I know and who I know to help see the profession rise. And so with a company like that coming into the space, I thought it'd be a good opportunity to help them out, because I know they're going to help a lot of firms with a multitude of issues with, you know, staffing. Who do I get to do these tasks? You don't need to. You already have you can already just reassign a lot of the folks you already have, and, you know, get the staff you do have to work with these agents to, you know, help it learn your processes and just make things better, more efficient. And, you know, as we've heard in the past with AI and accounting, you want to turn the doers into reviewers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think there's also there's a ton of stuff that's not necessarily happening right now in terms of client engagements that we, as CPAs, would probably be entirely qualified to do. There's just no time to do it, right? So I feel like dealing with some of the more mundane tasks and things like that really frees you up to do some of the higher order things. And I experienced that very personally, in my career as well, where after I left the Big Four, I was a controller at some super small, very, very small startup. And I was just kind of
made that decision, hey, you know, Big Four is, you know, clearly done for me, as a lot of accountants do. And you found, another path.
Yeah.
That you usually skills in.
Yeah. And the gained experience there of realizing how many tasks there are and how bogged down you can get was that in that job as a controller, I was doing everything. I had to do bookkeeping. I had to get involved in IT projects and all that. And I wasn't doing anything super productive from shepherding the business forward. And then my next role was in FP&A at a tech company where I was doing none of the accounting, none of the bookkeeping. And it was strictly how are things going? Can we provide useful advice? Can we provide budgeting, guardrails on marketing spend, all of that? And I was like, oh my God, now that I'm freed up, I can actually provide so much actual, genuine operational value. And so that's where, to me, I'm less worried about some of these kind of things automating out a lot of the kind of lower end tasks where, you know, I think there's all these kind of higher order things that we can do. And then, like you mentioned previously with the IT teams, people are going to adjust. There's going to be a job, right? Where I was at the tech company, there's all these cloud engineers who are optimizing your storage for Amazon Web Services and all that. And that became a super lucrative kind of profession in itself. Whereas that didn't exist before the cloud. And so, these things have a way of sorting themselves out. Yeah.
Indeed. And, it's both an exciting and nervous time. But I overall, really see, the coming of AI into the profession, as a welcome thing. Like with most technology, it offers opportunity, and you need to figure out, where it fits with what you do, because it's there, as a tool, like anything else to help your, improve what you do.
Yeah. And it's kind of a natural response to the current state of talent in the accounting industry, where I think with this pipeline shortage, there's some equilibrium that's going to be reached. And the way I hope it happens is that, right, it frees us up to do all these kind of higher, higher kind of bill rate, higher value add activities. Hopefully it becomes kind of a more lucrative profession, more interesting inherently profession, and that drives more people to come in. And then you reach that equilibrium of the right amount of automation and the right amount of actual talent in here. What I hope doesn't happen is a race to the bottom where all this automation, becomes a cost cutting cycle and everyone's just racing to the bottom in terms of fees and.
Yeah, I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
On the large, there's always going to be a bit of that here and there. But, when you're ultimately pricing based on the value of your work, you figure out other ways. You maybe might be someone who's, looking into more niche work. But in the foreseeable future, accounting really, this is what we were talking about, pre-recording here, about the opportunity for accounting to ultimately have that better story to tell, rather than telling a better story, because that's not going to fix it. There's core things about being an accountant and being in being an accounting professional and running your firms that definitely need to evolve from how it's been over, you know, decades. And you see different examples of it here and there, but it hasn't. It's still very early days, you know, because there's a lot of questions of which direction are we going to go. And, I remember that with, with cloud, sort of changing, even software in general, just kind of changing how folks work. Cloud also helped a lot of firms. One of their biggest issues was paper, spending on paper, sending out organizers, those big freaking binders every year. So you had mail costs, you had paper costs, you had storage costs. I remember talking to firms before the big paperless movement, or the less paper movement as it really was.
Yeah.
That they're just paying monthly for these massive storage spaces to keep documents for, X amount of years. And then it just, it's like, all right. And then it was somebody's task to keep tabs on all of that. And it's like, well, what are you doing? Like, A, how long, do you need to keep documents for? B, why so much freaking paper when it can just get stored digitally? Yeah. And so that took time and then a collective conscience to go, you're right, we should be doing this. But it's a huge task. You don't just start. So a lot of that was considered like summer work or more downtime work, getting all those documents that you really decided that you do need and would like to still have. But that changed the dynamic of how people work. It caused people like little behavioral things like, hey, look, we're just not taking any paper. Folks who are still physically coming into your firm, coming into your office, you met an admin who took your forms, scanned them in, gave them back to you.
Yeah.
That was a behavioral thing, but it definitely fundamentally started changing how folks work. But then, obviously you had to be a lot more security minded, which is what I was saying earlier about the IT departments. IT departments became, moved from these people who would, be in place, whether it's internal or external. There's a lot of firms that maybe just hired externally. They had an IT, group come in whenever they needed an upgrade to their systems, or, oh, we need to check out our servers, or, oh, the servers need to get shut down for a little bit. It moved from having to, fix stuff or repair stuff or maintain to, hey, we don't even have servers here anymore. All of that is offsite, or it's in the cloud, or it's not anything that we have. So what's your role? Well, since all this stuff is going elsewhere, you need to just, keep an eye on the exchange of data back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you hire them for, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
And that was a massive change. And then, just being able to, of course, work with a client, like not have to physically get a rolling suitcase or a bunch of stuff to carry the documents and carry the scanner and, these client visits. When I first started covering the profession, it wasn't all that long ago. It was about 3 decades ago. 2000 is when I first jumped in. And we can get to my background if you want, but the exciting part really was seeing that evolution of accounting professionals who worked in this way to a way that's like, we're actually in the same file together, or I see what you did in your QuickBooks. Let me, clean that up or whatever, it was real time rather than waiting to exchange files or having to physically be on site.
Mm-hmm.
And driving miles and miles and miles and staying in hotels and whatever, just to be, I've got to be with the client. Like, you just turned into the freaking Willy Loman. I'm dating myself with Willy Loman. You're this traveling salesman type person. Yeah. You're like, no, you're an accountant. Like, you need to be, you're an accounting professional. And so that, I think, started folks down this path of like, wow, we could actually do more. And what's the value of what I do if it's not in these tasks?
Yeah.
And AI, again, is now revisiting that discussion. And I love that it's part of the discussion of really changing, you know, the use of technology and really just, you know, really showcasing, you know, the value of what you can do as an accounting professional is what's at stake here.
Yeah, I definitely hope that kind of people more, maybe of my generation and younger, can kind of get comfort in like these previous cycles where, yeah, it was sort of like, oh my God, is this the end of time? Is everything going to change fundamentally? And it's like, no, like it just evolved, and like it probably did evolve kind of for the better, where it's like, okay, you can actually, you know, you can leverage the unique value that you're able to provide more and spend less time just doing stuff that has to get done, right? So
yeah,
hopefully that's kind of where we land on all of that. But there's definitely been, yeah, it seems like a lot of development, a lot of interest kind of in the accounting space over the last number of years. Or maybe I've just gotten my head out of the sand now that I'm, you know, in a role where I'm involved in kind of some media in this space as well. One evolution that I'm kind of curious about for someone who's been at this for a lot longer than me also is the kind of evolution of vendors recognizing accountants as like a very viable sales channel into businesses. Like it seems like, to me anyways, it seems like almost all at once, a lot of these, you know, businesses, maybe Mercury, a lot of like expense management software providers, credit card providers, things like that, realize like,
well, outside,
oh wow, accountants, I mean, are really good
in that and the like. Yeah, Mercury is a bank, you know, and there's other banks, there's all small business banks that also realize their role in the ecosystem. And I do like that. So my caveat is seeing the accounting accountants as this somewhat of a channel, not new, but folks who are starting to see them that way is, and you mentioned some folks in like the fintech space, HR, payroll, things like that, you know, the expanding of payroll companies into evolving more of their services, you realize accounting professionals are right in there. So whether you need to, and this, you know, also plays into a lot of the work that I do, knowing this fact, knowing that there's all kinds of companies that could potentially see the value of accountants to sell to or through for their clients is still very much in play. And where I see the challenge is in how they go about it. That's kind of where I jump in. It's the how you go about it. How do you go about talking to accountants, getting them on your side, getting that true partnership that needs to happen. Again, whether you're selling to them or through them, they're part of the puzzle for you. If you value your relationship, if you value any relationship with accountants, you will not necessarily treat them as like a means to an end. They're your partner and they take that trust very seriously, because once it's broken, man, good luck to you getting that back. Seen it time and time and time again. And a lot of one clear way that I see path, if you will, to establishing that trust is through content. Give them something of value, something that they need. Show that you're not just trying to sell to them. Actually show that you're on their side. You get what some of their struggles are. You get what some of their issues are or their client issues are. And you give them something. Maybe it's downloadable white paper. Maybe a series of podcasts that kind of talk through an issue, or you have other experts on. Whatever it is, you're warming.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They're going to ask for that demo on their own, not because you had a link in your webinar or something like that to do it, or you followed up like a couple of days after they attended one. It's because they're genuinely interested in what you have. But, you know, they have to balance that out between their own pressures of like, we need volume, we need a certain amount of folks, we got to close in a certain amount of time. And content marketing is a longer play, and it's something that can yield shorter term results, but also needs to be built on. And once you get that trust, again, you have to work to maintain it. Accountants they'll trust you relatively quickly if you have something they need, or if they feel like they can help. But, you know, you got to work to maintain it, because it can be broken just as easily. And so I'm trying to work to, you know, to make those connections, help build out content plans for companies who do have an interest in building relationships with the accounting space. And yeah. I advocate for it, you know, full stop. With some of my,
yeah, no, I've,
in my speaking and
yeah, I've found it very much like deep relationships based. Like, I haven't necessarily been in a ton of other like selling roles per se. I mean, when I was 18, I had a job selling credit cards, but that's different.
Okay.
But like where I'm at now, like, I'm trying to, not really. I think I've had every single job imaginable. I think I've had probably 30 plus. But yeah, no, I, you know, as someone who's trying to kind of work with accounting firms, I've really realized that a lot of the times where I have actually successfully, you know, onboarded a firm, it's after, you know, yeah, giving a lot and then meeting with them at, you know, some conference or interacting for a very, very long time. It really does seem like a very much kind of relationships based thing, whereas like not like a D2C type of sale motion where, you know, someone sees an ad and they click it and they buy it right away. It's really, yeah, there's a lot of trust to be established. There's a lot of relationship building and like, you know, building that understanding of like, hey, like I want what's best for you. And I think that I have built that, like, help me understand if that's the case. And hopefully we can kind of help each other out on this. So, I think what you provide companies when you work with them, getting them ingrained in kind of the right area, the right ecosystem, is
incredibly valuable. I want to set them up for success. And, you know, where I've seen a lot of failure and you know, and things fall apart when you don't dedicate budget or time to doing these sort of regular, you know, content forward things. And it's just, like I said, it's just how you establish that regular communication. And I know several companies that do it exceptionally well, because it's a priority for them, and they know that the product will ultimately sell itself. Continue to make improvements on it. Continue to get feedback. You definitely need that accountant connection. If you have anything that's going to be for their clients, or anything that the accountant is going to touch or recommend in any way, they have to have an understanding. Like with the banks coming in. You know, Mercury and the like. You know, they're part of that ecosystem. It makes sense that you understand, like, when someone has small business, you know, lending needs, that the accountant also have an understanding of where they fit into it, even if it's just to have a conversation. You know, I know that there's, you know, for CPAs in particular, there's kind of rules of like what, you know, you can do vis-a-vis, you know, with any particular bank. But just having that knowledge set, there's nothing that says you can't have an understanding of how, you know, lending works at a number of levels. Another area I think set to blow up that it hasn't typically been, you know, core accounting or even advanced accounting, is wealth management. Wealth management, I think, is an area where you just kind of look at the tea leaves here, and you just look, it's like, well, what does an accountant do, and how can they increase the value of what they do beyond just being a doer of tasks?
Yeah.
You know, opportunities, and all advisory really is, if we really want to get down to the big A in the room, all it is just saying, create opportunities to have conversations with purpose, with intent, with your clients, and charge for those, and charge for the work that's ultimately that they're going to agree to do with you. Wealth management is something that if you are in a business's or an individual's finances in any way, whether you're a tax professional, bookkeeper, somewhere in the middle, you know, both doing both, doing some tax, doing some books, great. You understand how you can set up someone or help someone set up someone's financial future. And maybe you don't have to be a licensed financial professional. You need relationships of your own, maybe in the financial planning or rather wealth management space, right? Because just like with, I mentioned payroll earlier, there's plenty of payroll and HR companies that do this full time. They understand state-by-state compliance and they can do all of the work, like make sure checks get cut and all everything in between, set up for benefits, help review, you know, healthcare plan. All of those things, you can go to like a Paychex, an ADP, a JustWorks, a Gusto, OnPay, on down the line. The accountant is the reviewer, or they're the keeper of those relationships. They just kind of funnel things along. They'll kind of make sure everything is in order. You have a role in that, but you're not actually doing the payroll, are you? Mm-hmm. So you're not actually doing wealth management. You are just you're the advisor. You're the keeper of that relationship. And so the return on that relationship needs to be, you know, at the forefront. Relationship with your clients, and you know, they'll realize that, you know, what they're paying you for are things that maybe they never thought that they would be paying you for. Things that are going to surprise and delight, you know, like taking care of their financial future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do work with a financial planning firm or a wealth management firm on the outside because they have those relationships, but it can still funnel through you, just like it does with payroll, HR, and any number of other things that are outside of the traditional realm. Pretty soon that word is just going to be, you know, it's just going to be like, well, remember when accountants just did this? I want to see that day.
Yeah. And I've been really interested in, the kind of add-on of wealth advisory, whatever that might look like. I've spoken to some firm owners who they actually provide the wealth advisory type services themselves through kind of a separate entity. They're able to...
The bigger firms, they've made acquisitions to that effect as well. But by and large, you know, the profession is full of these, you know, mostly predominantly sub 20 staff.
Yeah.
So I'll be even 12 staff outfits. And, you know, they're not excluded in any way from exploring these avenues.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's other models too, right? So I had Rory on not too long ago too. He talks about having like the tack on type referral system where it flows through you.
And I've got a foreword
In the book.
In his book, I wrote the just kind of like preface to it, you know, and, you know, just, you know, it was kind of more like how the time is right for, you know, CPAs in particular to, you know, really start, you know, considering what's possible in this realm. And then his new book, you know, The Holistic Guide Wealth Management, you know, it gives it end to end. There's tons of authors in it, including Rory himself, of course, that give their perspectives on what they can do. Some of the authors are the providers themselves. Others are other accountants in the space and people who kind of have a stake, such as myself, in seeing the profession move forward. Which is why I named my business as I did, because I do want to see accountants move forward in the best way. And you know, there's no one. You know, forward might seem like one direction, but you know, you can move forward in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I agree. So when we're talking about books, it kind of prompted me to want to bring up something else I was thinking about, is that the importance of writing in the accounting profession. So you are yourself, I would say, an exceptional writer. I was reading a lot of what you've put out ahead of this, and you communicate just in a way that's like concise, but you set the scene well. And it's just, it's just very enjoyable to read. Like, it just feels very familiar while still being kind of professional and stuff. I'm curious to know, like, I mean, you obviously had a lifetime in kind of the editing publishing world, but I'm curious to know if there are kind of like some key
getting
resources.
Older. You could say it. It's fine.
No. A lifetime undetermined length. But I'm curious to know if there are any kind of like resources that you would point to, and like what you think the value is of like a CPA who can become a very, very good writer themselves.
I mean, look, I know some folks, you know, are taking the easy way out and looking to AI to be like, oh, I'll just put some ideas in there and it'll write for me. And that's, you know, that's a choice.
Yeah.
But if you really want to, you know, it's like, that's like the Cliff Note version. You know, back when I was going to school, we had these things called Cliff Notes. And Cliff Notes were, you know, this is like, all right, well, I know I'm asked to read this book, but man, I just don't want to. And I know that I'm going to have tests on this. I got to write a paper on it. So let me just get the Cliff Notes and it'll just kind of summarize it for me, which means somebody actually read the book and is deciphering it for you. I think much like reading, you know, exercises a certain part of your brain, writing does too. And you coming to grips with your thoughts and forming them into, you know, written form, I think there's something to that. Again, I might be biased because, you know, I came up, 30 plus years ago into journalism. I didn't know what I wanted to do when I was going through school, but, you know, I had a couple of moments that said, you should be a writer, you should be a journalist. And it was just something I became very passionate about. And I heard, I held some pretty crap jobs. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But you learn from all those experiences what makes a good piece of writing. And I've always been in business journalism. I don't know. It wasn't an active choice. I think it was where I started and I just continued, you know, hacking through those woods. And I've kind of written about, you know, a variety of things from metals and mining to venture capital and private equity, marketing, technology, of course. And then I guess accounting, was just another, you know, job that I had, but I just found that I wanted to stay with it because I gained an understanding of this profession. And like any trade journalist or editor, you get a deeper understanding of a profession by writing about it and going to events and talking to sources and cultivating those sources and going to dinners and lunches, coffees, and just talking to people, listening to the folks who are doing the work, and then the folks who've been around it for a while and absorbing all of that and being able to condense your ideas and findings into, you know, into written form. I learned about the true role of the accounting professional is really keeping not only our economy flowing, the basic tenets of our economy isn't what happens on Wall Street or behind, you know, or in Washington. It's the businesses that are someone's dreams and hopes for their own future. And I'm sure you've heard this before, but behind any successful business is an account. And that really hit me and it took some time. And so I stayed with it because I knew I had a role as a journalist and now as more of a, kind of a quasi, I guess, marketing consultant with deep knowledge of the accounting space. And I guess advocate for accounting and for accountants using that knowledge And, you know, so writing, again, you know, getting back to your point, sorry, I told you I was going to go off.
That's all good.
Coming back to it. So if you have something to share, your expertise, your knowledge, because you are a professional who learns much as I did from you all, learning from your clients, learning from colleagues, you have thoughts and passions to get out there. I would say, you know, just start clacking away. You know, maybe have AI or someone, you know, as an editor for it, but the physical act of writing, getting your thoughts on, you know, paper or, you know, whatever it is, on, you know, Google Docs, Word, whatever it is. There's really something to that is, even if you delete it and throw it out, whatever, that, you know, there's something to that. So, you know, people want to hear from you and learn from you. And, you know, it's great to get out to conferences and get out to all the social, you know, things that you can do throughout the year. But the writing part too, I think, keeps a connection.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
And I agree a lot.
Long-winded explanation.
Yeah, no, I like it though. And I agree a lot about what you said about like how it's important for your own kind of thought process, your own thinking. So like most recently, I had to do a solo pod. I had COVID, and so I ran dry on guests and all that. So, and I was trying to kind of come up with my sort of position and opinion on the overall like private equity and accounting space. And I had never been able to fully kind of articulate like my full thought process on it, how I actually like really felt about kind of the pros and the cons and all of that, until I had kind of written it out to organize my ideas. And I find that there's like a very clear distinction where I've had a lot of discussions about this kind of topic. And I find a very clear distinction of the quality of those discussions that happened prior and after having written all of that down to kind of come up with my like overall thought about it. And that was just internally. And yeah, sure, I'm kind of, you know, purposing that for material. But even if I hadn't, I think that this is, again, this is a discussion that happens a lot, and any conference you go at, any, you know, wherever. And I think that I come across far better in those conversations now that I have gone through the process of writing it. And I think it's a weird thing where people in the accounting profession, they're like, no, like, you know, Excel is my canvas. Ha ha ha. Like, I don't need to be a good communicator. But it's, I think that it does actually really have a very important place. And yeah, it was just something that struck me that you were a very good writer in the space. And I was like, I think more people need to write.
It's like any muscle that you flex, any skill, you have to continue to do it. And I always hope to improve. You know, I do have you know, AI agents, you know, helping me out too. That just, you know, little guides like Grammarly or Quillbot are really good at, you know, it's still you're still, you know, doing your writing, but it'll point out things that you might miss. Sentence structure, paragraph structure, different words you could potentially use. That, you know, I remember when I first started writing, I always had a dictionary, physical dictionary on my desk, and I had my AP guide. That was something that even back in college, that, you know, writing professors were like, you're going to write for the media is what you need. And, you know, for some, you know, who maybe were kind of in, you know, marketing, it's maybe, you know, Chicago Manual style or the AMA, other style books. But basically, you had your AP and you had your, you know, your dictionary or thesaurus, you were on your way. That was another thing. So I had those, I had those three books always on my desk. And now you don't really need that, you know, with these AI agents. I think you can just, with confidence, you don't have to necessarily look too many things up. It'll help you if you're just not confident with how to say something. Just say it, write it out how it is in your head. And then, you know, maybe one of these agents can kind of help you. But that's about as far as I personally go. But I know plenty of people who are like, oh, I had AI write this for me. And, they go about it the other way. And they may, well, maybe you'll go in and kind of massage it and give it your own tone a little bit. But it's hard to do when, you know, something's just kind of, you know, put together your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's a good process. It's a good like involvement of like maybe have it in the loop, but make sure it's not the thing writing it, because then you miss out on a lot of probably the mental exercise of coming up with the writing yourself, right? So, thank you so much for joining me, Seth. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah. Any final thoughts or questions? I mean, this is stuff that I know I can talk about all day long. Cases I do. People, call me up, schedule a meeting with me, and you know, I'm only as good as the knowledge that I have. I've been saying that my whole career.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the mantra, I think, of the journalist, is that, particularly in trades, is that, you know, you're only as good as the knowledge that you have. And I think when applied to accountants, is that, man, sky's the limit, because you are immensely knowledgeable about the businesses that you serve. Even some of increasingly the technology you use to do it, and just everything in between. And this ultimately is what I think people, could and should be paying you for. Sure, if you're heavily into tax, I get it. Your work hasn't gotten any easier, and you should flat out just be paid more to do that. Even your basic work, I get that. But for continued value, Not that what you're doing is invaluable, far from it. But there's definitely just lots of opportunities. I just wrote a whole article on that discussion of, really, why is it that accountants have, at least over the last decade or so, really increasingly have been asked to be more.
Yeah.
What does that mean? More? Like what? What is that? But I think if you kind of search, you can see within yourself, like, am I happy being in the role that I am? Am I satisfied with how I go about my day, my week, my year? If any of those answers is no, then that's what you need to be thinking about, going about how you do things. And what sort of the end result is. How can you be happier? Maybe it's your time, maybe it's pay, maybe it's technology, maybe it's just the kind of work that you're doing.
Yeah.
All of these things, there's just spells to me opportunity. And it doesn't have to be, these big massive changes, but it all just gets down to, are you doing what you want to do? You don't work in a factory. You're not, required to punch a card and, turn out a certain amount of things in a day, or you're not running a store where, you're only as good as, the week that you had, we sold X amount of stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of free will in how you do things,
so in your control as an accountant, and you just need to take it in your own way. And that's kind of my final thoughts here. Thank you so much for having me, Dom.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm glad we got out those final thoughts, because I think that's a great sentiment for people who, some people are a little bit down and out about the way they feel about the profession and their role in it and all that. And it's like, there's things you can try. There's ways that this can be good. And I do think it's a great profession. Like, I'm a CPA. I have no regrets about it. I'm not really practicing as a CPA right now per se, but where I'm at, the doors would not have been opened had I not gone through that route as well.
Through a certain level of educational training and just, job training. To do that and to maintain, that license, it's extra. You didn't have to. You could still be considered an accountant without those three letters. But you did, and you know, now it's you know, time to really maybe reimagine that the value of that, or recommunicate it in some way, so it doesn't get lost.
Yeah, awesome. Well, yeah, thanks a ton, Seth. Thanks again for joining. I'm always always happy to get the opportunity to catch up with you. So yeah, thanks for coming on.